Thank you. Well, praise the Lord, how time goes so quickly. And the scripture that Joy just read is right in the middle of what I want to talk about. A little bit before that and a bit after it. Proclaiming the good news that it was going to be come to the earth and so on and so forth. And just after that, we get the reason why this was proclaimed, and that is chapter 53, which talks about the Messiah and his sufferings and taking upon our sin for himself. But I really want to go back a bit and see what it's all about, really, in the long term of God's great plan. And right back in Genesis, we know, I expect everyone here knows, how Adam and Eve, mankind, fell from a relationship with God. And in that time, the whole thing was catastrophe, not just on earth, but for the whole cosmos, actually, where the kingdom of God on earth was lost. And that was, and the whole Bible is talking about how God was going to and has done some marvelous thing to bring back the kingdom of God on earth. Now, we often talk about, and quite rightly, how God saves us and forgives our sins. But that's only for the purpose of bringing his kingdom on earth. We are part of something far greater when God introduces us to Calvary. It's God wants to do something through men. Now, we heard this morning, I think Peter read out how God owns the whole earth. Everything in it belongs to him. But the amazing thing is that he wants to bring his kingdom not through just this kind of attitude which men might have of power, but through men. So he wants to bring his kingdom through his people who've been forgiven, who have been redeemed. So we want to know, what is his kingdom? What is God's kingdom? Because that's, you read right through the Bible from the beginning, how the kingdom is lost and the prince of this world now is the devil, Satan. And God, because man was the one who introduced this devastating relationship, went all wrong and the kingdom was lost, if you like. He's going to use people, and particularly one man, Jesus Christ, to bring his kingdom. But not only through Jesus Christ is he going to bring his kingdom in, he's going to bring his kingdom through his people in every generation since. And that is a great thing to know, that you're not just here to sit and enjoy your salvation, which is true, but that's not just it. God, the Bible says, God is going to work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So we're not just sort of here just to enjoy a nice service or a nice life or the thought of going to heaven or to think about the wonderful things that will happen where every tear is wiped away and sorrow is gone. But the Bible talks about redeeming the time now. And it's on the basis of Calvary. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. And it goes on to talk about saying, your God reigns. And I want to tell you that God is reigning right now. He is reigning right now. And the watchmen lift up their voices, and their voices shall sing together, and they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. In other words, who are the watchmen? The watchmen are the people of God. And they're saying, God has done an amazing thing. He now is reigning. From the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is said that all power has been given unto him in heaven and earth. God is now reigning. From that moment onwards, though he owns everything and can do everything on earth, he would just, by his word, something could happen. But the fact is, the amazing, amazing thing, he says, because man ruined it, I'm going to restore it by men, by mankind. That's an amazing responsibility that we all have. But it's all on the basis. So what is the kind of people that God is going to use? So if you quickly turn, I know I've not got much time and time has gone very, very quickly. But you'll know in chapter 5 in Matthew, we call it the Beatitudes. And this here is Jesus talking about the kind of people that are going to be in his kingdom. And he introduces it all by saying things like, the poor in spirit are going to. Those who are mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are prepared to be persecuted for my sake. These are the kind of people which God is going to use to bring in his kingdom. And you'll read, if you read this Beatitudes, these couple of chapters, it's all about how he's going to use these kind of people to manifest his kingship, his lordship. And it's completely different to what the world expects of you. Or the world it would expect as if it were going to bring in a king to the earth. He's going to use people who are mourning, who are thirsty for righteousness, for those who are poor in spirit. He goes on to say, those who are going to love their enemies. Those who are going to turn the other cheek. Those who are not going to judge people. Those who've got a different kind of politics, a politics of heaven. That's the kind of thing he was saying. Now, he is not just a teaching, he's saying, but the Holy Spirit has come to bring the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ into our bodies. So that we've got a commission from God to work out and bring the kingdom of his name on earth. What Jesus Christ did on Calvary was to defeat death. It was to defeat the powers of darkness that ruled this world. That he was resurrected to vindicate the great work that he did. The Bible says that you are justified by his resurrection. In other words, he was saying, because Jesus Christ was resurrected, that shows you that you now are justified. That is, that you are counted blameless before God. And that the resurrection is the proof of that. And hundreds of people saw that. And it's well documented in history as well. So it's not just a myth or someone making it up. This is just pure factual history that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he is alive. Hallelujah. And he is alive to bring the kingdom of God in. And the first thing he does when he brings somebody in, he brings them to the fact that he can forgive them. Whatever the thing is, I was listening to somebody on YouTube recently, happened in America. I think it was a Times Square church, Jim Sambala. That's right. And he was telling a story about, he was after an evening service, tired out, and all he wanted to do was sit down and rest. And then the other people came out and other counselors were there. And then this man, absolutely a tramp, stank to high heaven, no teeth, completely unkept and so on. And he thought, oh gosh, I've had enough. I'll just give him a couple of dollars, because it happened all the time, to help the homeless. And he said, here, go and buy yourself a meal. And the man said to him, I don't want your money. I want the Jesus who you've been speaking about. And Jim Sambala broke down and hugged him. And with the reeking smell of him, he wept on that man. And that man wept as well. And the long and the short of it, that man was completely restored by God. Absolutely by the grace of God. And he is now a minister. And that's what God can do. He is alive. He can forgive sins and restore a man and a woman, no matter who they are. Racism doesn't belong to God. Elitism doesn't belong to God. He loves men, and he wants to use those who are desperately wanting to make things right in their life. And the point of being a Christian is that we should reflect God on this earth. That's what the Holy Spirit has been given to us for, is to reflect the love and the life of Jesus Christ. And it comes from these sort of people. The meek, the ones prepared to be persecuted for his name's sake and still love and never give up. You read chapter 13 of Corinthians, how they bear all things, how they forgive all things. It's not just an easy life. It's a matter of submitting our will to the Spirit of God, and that you're able to just sort of not have the last word, but just submit yourself to the Spirit of God and take upon him and reflect him. What an amazing, amazing life. This is the kingdom of God. It's not just singing choruses, not just singing and having a good time. Good that is. Don't let anybody say I'm down to it. But the most important thing is he wants to bring healing into people's lives. He wants to restore men and women. How? Through you. Through his church. The fact that we have been forgiven brings us into unity with God. Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet that brings the good news. What's the good news? God is reigning now. And he can do things that men cannot do. But he uses men. That's the amazing thing. And as is prayed, it's all by grace. Hallelujah. So, just turning a little bit further on to Luke chapter 11. And if I could have read it in Matthew, but I just want to... chapter 11 of Luke. In this... Beatitudes, he says, teaches them how to pray. And you know, we call it the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Whatever, doesn't matter. And he says, Our Father which art in heaven, you know it, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what the ultimate end that God is aiming for. And you'll see it fulfilled as you go throughout the Bible. And I could have read a little bit more from Isaiah, where it says, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and so on and so forth. And he says, the glory shall come in all the earth. And everyone shall know that the glory has come on the whole earth. You see, it's not a matter of us going to God as God coming down to us. It's always been like that. God has always come down to mankind. He came to the garden. He came to the children of Israel who were to be the light of the world and to bring the Gentiles in. And the glory came in the temple. But we have a man. And he was full of the glory of God, Jesus Christ. He is the temple of God. Everybody had to go to the temple to be forgiven. But here's a man now, Jesus Christ. And it's just incredible that he should take upon my sin, the sin of the whole world. This is love. He so loved the world, easy enough to quote, but Calvary is in the middle of all of this. The dreadful, dreadful thing where he sweat blood to bring men and women to this broken relationship into another one that they can know the love of God in their own hearts and be like God. The great fact is that I say be like God. I mean to reflect what God is. The great thing about the kingdom is righteousness. And what is righteousness? I'll tell you what, you could sum it up in love. If you love the Lord your God and you love your neighbor, the love of God is the kingdom of God. We can have quotes and we can have all sorts of good sermons, and I appreciate every bit of that. But really, the very, very heart of God, he so loved the world that he was prepared to go through the darkness and the darkness of this world. He said in one place, he says, the hour of darkness is coming now. And he went into the darkness, and it was physically manifested on Calvary, and he overcame the darkness. I heard recently, darkness cannot overcome darkness. Hate cannot overcome hate. Light overcomes darkness, and love overcomes hate. Can you love the person that bothers you? And I'm putting it mildly. I tell you, it's possible. It'll take you into a place where you have to be broken. It will. It'll take you where God makes you mourn for your own inability. It'll take you to the place where you hunger and thirst for the life of God. And all you can say, Lord, bring in your kingdom. Is this what it takes? If you're applying what you did on Calvary, the cross in my life. You see, the cross brings in the kingdom. It's not the might and the power of anything else in this world. It's the cross. And it always involves suffering. It always involves sorrow. It always involves brokenness. Because that's what Jesus is like. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief, and we so easily say, I want to be like Jesus, and we've got some kind of rose-coloured glasses of it all. But really, we're in a world that hates him, that militates him, against him. They don't consciously think that, but they do. The whole spirit of this world is in darkness. And we are the light of the world. That's what it says in the Beatitude. You now, in my kingdom, are the light of the world. You now, in my kingdom, are the salt of the earth. I'm relying on you now to bring this gospel to men and women. And it's going to cost. It's going to cost your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord who can bring joy in the middle of suffering and songs in the night and comfort where there's sorrow, because that is the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll know it if you've gone through any family problems which have grieved you to the very core of your being, and somehow God, and it's inexplicable, God can comfort you. You don't know why. Your head is in a mess. Your thoughts are going around in a turntable. And yet God somehow speaks, overcomes all of that, and brings something into your life. And I don't know, he doesn't have to say particular words, but it's something that you could sum up and say, it's all right. Your God reigns. You can see eye to eye with him. Eye to eye with Jesus in his love for a broken, disrupted world where people in China haven't even heard the name of Jesus. And they're taught money is everything. Just to finish with, I want to turn to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. Hallelujah. He transferred us from one. God gate crashed this earth. He came into it and he burst it wide open for what it was. And he broke into the darkness. And it wasn't with swords or clubs. It was laying down his life for it. And somehow taking it all upon his body on that tree. All your difficulties, all your sorrows, all the mess of our lives and whatever it is, our history, which keeps looming up from time to time in our minds. Go back, you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and not by your works. Hallelujah. And he loves you with an everlasting love, not a love that's here today and gone tomorrow. Depending how you are or how you feel or what you've done, it is an everlasting love. He will never, never stop loving you despite everything you or I might have messed things up. You've been redeemed and you've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I like the way he says that. It's not just in the kingdom of his Son, but the Son of his love. I want to shed my love in your heart. And when I shed my love in your heart, things will change. You'll be able to forgive. You'll be able to be long-suffering. and so on and so forth. Turn just quickly to chapter 11 of Revelation. And it says here, the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice and saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's already happened. That has already happened. The fullness of it we'll see one day. The consummation of it. We're in an intermediate time. But that doesn't mean to say that God isn't reigning. The fullness of it will come when he comes, and he shall, every eye shall see him, and he shall bring it all back to where it was. And on earth, I'm not talking about in heaven, on earth, he'll come and make it right again as he made it in the beginning, which was very good. All his wonderful creation. Everything in the universe will be back to what it was and even greater. He reigns forever and ever. Amen. Amen.